in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the April 21st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off in Kampala, where Ugandan football officials are hoping a new arrangement for their domestic leagues will attract sponsors and develop young talent. Under the new format, the top league will have 12 teams and the lower division will feature 16. Magume Davis Rakawinj reports from Kampala.
Nicholas Chiza, the Deputy Chief Executive Officer for the Federation of the Uganda Football Association, or FUFA, and the head of the competitions committee, says the new format is expected to start with next season, 2020-2021.
We are reducing the number of clubs from Patepo, the current situation, which has 16 Premier League clubs and 18 big league clubs. So under the new arrangement, we want them to be 28, 12 Premier League clubs and 16 big league clubs. We hope under one management, the Premier League, the Reserve League, and the big league can give us better results, better brands, and more competition.
Chiza says the federation is consulting with different stakeholders, including former Cranes players, club owners, sponsors, and sports administrators, to ensure the new format benefits the entire football fraternity in the country.
We will encourage the Premier League side to still own the, and manage the under-17 side, but we are going to make it mandatory for the big league side to have an under-17 outfit to play in these leagues. Our target is to have about 20 which will give us about 6,000 to 8,000 players at a go. This is going to be a very good fishing ground for the bigger sites, and it's also going to fit in very well in our player development cycle.
But former Uganda Cranes player Mutibu Kasule is opposed to proposed reforms. Kasule, who runs both a football academy and club Proren FC, says reducing a number of clubs will stifle chances of hundreds of thousands of talented footballers in the country.
The reality in Uganda is we have a lot of talent. Nobody doubts that. Uganda is a league where you have the bottom team, the team that is going to be relegated, producing players for the national team. You see, my team currently is in the relegation, second from bottom. But it is producing players for the national team now, currently, as we speak. So if we have enough talent to spread out in 16, why do you now want to suffocate it in 12?
Presently, a handful of local-based players managed to get a chance to feature for the senior national team, the Uganda Cranes. Sports analyst and reporter Leon Senyange welcomes the new arrangements.
Do the reforms today offer a solution? I personally believe they do, because of the principle that less is more. Putting the numbers to 12, for me, gives an advantage in terms of resource availability, resource distribution, an expanded number of players, but more quality at that. And while there are 12 on the top tier, there will be 16 in the lower tier. And the competitiveness at that level, I believe, is even bigger and better than that in the top, in the Super League.
In the recent developments, FUFA is distributing food items for local-based players and officials to help them cope with the lockdown that has stopped sports activities, including football. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala.
Sporting greetings. This is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda men's national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
My name is Joshua Cheptegei of Uganda, a world champion, a double Commonwealth Games champion, a world cross country champion, a three-time world record holder of the 5K, 10K, and 15K. My message to the athletes all over the world and other people is that keep a distance and follow the guidelines given to you by your governments and the health ministries. because the COVID-19 is really a serious disease.
The global COVID-19 crisis has robbed South African and all-African boxing champion Rowan Campbell of a shot at a world title. For now, the 26-year-old Campbell was due to fight Russia's Evgeny Shvedenko for the vacant IBO super middleweight belt in Germany at the end of March. But Campbell isn't known as Braveheart for nothing, and he says the setback has made him even more determined to win a world title for Africa. Darren Taylor reports from Johannesburg.
This kid can fight.
Please welcome to Emperor's Palace, Rowan Campbell!
Campbell's most memorable bout happened last August when he fought Patrick Mukala of the Congo. It happened at Emperor's Palace near Johannesburg, but the number of Mukala supporters in the crowd made it feel more like Kinshasa.
Everyone is rooting for him. The South African-Congo rivalry is quite big in boxing because there's a lot of Congolese which come to South Africa to fight.
Mukala was challenging Campbell for the IBO All-Africa Super Middleweight Championship.
That was my first major fight where everyone thought I was going to lose.
South African's aggressive style, bolstered by his stamina, speed, and renowned power punching, resulted in a technical knockout in round 8, and Mukala's challenge was over. Then, in November, Campbell was pitted against another respected South African boxer, Nicholas Radley.
That was a catch weight, so I was the South African super middleweight champion and he was the South African light heavyweight champion. And they wanted to see who was the best out of the two of us. So I came up to fight him and then I ended up knocking him out in the fourth round.
Campbell was rewarded for his record of 12 pro fights, 12 victories, 8 via knockouts, with an opportunity to fight Russia's Evgeny Shvedenko for the IBO world title. But then the coronavirus pandemic swept the world. Campbell says he sank into a week of depression when the match was called off.
It really affected me because, of course, I wanted the world title. The doors it would have opened, even on the ranking system, they would have put me on the top 20 in the rankings, possibly. That's a big thing for South Africa.
He says he'd felt in supreme shape and confident that he'd beat Shvedenko.
Now, we don't know if it's postponed or if it's cancelled, which also makes it so hard, is there's no clarity to what's coming up in the future.
But Campbell insists he's not going to sulk.
Let's say this whole virus ends in 2 months. You might get like a month notice to go fight.
He says he'll be ready for his crack at the world IBO super middleweight belt, even though South Africa's in the middle of a 21-day lockdown aimed at slowing the spread of COVID-19.
We're not allowed to really run here and stuff like that, but the police and the military haven't been too strict around my area, so I have managed to stay active. I have a whole bunch of weights. I've been skipping a lot and I have like a bag at home. So I've been hitting it quite often and training quite regularly.
Campbell says the South African boxing scene was blossoming before the virus stalled it.
We have Kevin Lorena, who's the IBO cruiserweight champion, who's doing unbelievably. We have Tabisa Mchunu, who's also in the cruiserweight division, who's doing great. We have so many great fighters that had so many opportunities coming up. And there's so much competition at the moment, which is also great because competition helps fighters just better themselves. We just need to get overseas a bit more. There's only a certain level you can reach here in South Africa. You want to go to America or Britain, you know?
He says he's 100% sure that a South African boxer will soon make a big international breakthrough.
Every South African's kind of a fighter. We kind of like, from what we see here, like the Mexicans. South Africans love to fight. So I think in a couple of years' time, South Africa will be regarded as a Mexico in regards to boxing.
At the moment, it's Campbell who's first in the queue of South African pugilists, waving their sombreros and blowing their vuvuzelas, desperate to prove themselves to the world. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
guys. This is Masembe Isaac, silver medalist from All Africa Games 2019. Listen to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Top-ranked tennis star Novak Djokovic is opposing compulsory vaccinations for players in order to resume the season this year. Reuters reporter Adam Reed tells us more.
Novak Djokovic faces a tough dilemma when competitive tennis eventually returns, which could impact his chances to add to his 17 Grand Slam titles. The current men's world number one has expressed concerns over suggestions that it will become compulsory for players to get vaccinated before they can take to the court again. In a conversation broadcast over social media with other Serbian athletes on Sunday, Djokovic said, quote, "Personally, I'm opposed to vaccination, and I wouldn't want to be forced by someone to take a vaccine in order to be able to travel." Tennis, along with most other major sports, is currently on hiatus amid the global lockdown, with hopes of a resumption later in the year. However, the famous grass court championships of Wimbledon, where Djokovic is reigning champion, have already been cancelled for 2020. The French and US Open tournaments have been provisionally moved to later in the year. Djokovic said it was his understanding it would be a requirement for players to take a vaccine, and he would have to question whether he would be happy to change his views in order to resume play.
Make a difference by honoring ordinary people doing extraordinary things to help one another. VOA encourages you to tell us about everyday people who have shown leadership in your communities during the coronavirus crisis. Submit your nominations to VOA Leaders at voanews.com. Send us your name, phone number, and email, and a VOA reporter will contact you. We're all in this together.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Results Sports is a company that tracks football teams and their following on social media. In a recent report, Results Sports said there are currently 66 African football teams with more than 100,000 social media followers. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Mario Leo said he founded the company 12 years ago.
I formed Results Sports in 2008, and in 2010 we built an in-house crawler that now monitors about 23,000 social media profiles from all major sports around the world. Basketball, ice hockey, handball, volleyball, rugby, Formula One, and of course football. We benchmark twice a year a global study called Global Digital Football Benchmark, or Global Football Digital Benchmark, which basically features all football clubs with more than 1 million followers around the world. And we do this for the past 5 years. And obviously in 2015, some African teams were already entering our benchmark. So I have a very strong heart for Africa. I see that the population in Africa is very young, very, very sports interested. And my goal is basically to bring to unlock the potential of digital media in sports, especially in social media. African football should belong into the top 20 into the world communities, and so far only Al Ahly in Cairo is able to sort of compete on a global level with the football clubs. So we track basically the follower evolution, we track the engagement of the audience, and we started obviously initially with 7 African football leagues: Botswana, Uganda, Ghana, Nigeria, Kenya, and now this has been increasing all the time. Now we've basically got all African major teams who are competing in the continental competitions, the CAF Champions League, the CAF Continental Cup, and basically are really growing by country to bring more and more football coming in. Since the first evolution in 2017, or since our first African release in 2017, clubs have realized and have seen that there is a company of like Result Sports, or that Result Sports is the company tracking those, and they've been very supportive and helpful, sending us their official profiles to ensure that basically all the profiles in our monitoring and tracking software is correctly tracked. And we are very, very happy and proud to have now reached such a good overview of the entire African football, and especially the social media evolution in Africa.
What trends are you seeing, especially with the lockdowns? and no football.
Has there been a drop, or are they still engaging with their fans? Well, so with the incredible global pandemic, COVID-19, and the lockdowns, or the abandoning of all African competitions, of all global football sporting competitions, obviously it's been a tremendous situation for any organization or any sports organization around the world. The uncertainty is probably the biggest competition at the moment, or the biggest challenge at the moment, because the uncertainty, not knowing when football can restart, is obviously impacting all financial planning, is impacting the content planning, and therefore, yes, we see a drop, and the drop is about 30% less engaging, because obviously the community and football fans in Africa, in Europe, around the world, are used to 9 months football and 3 months of summer break or winter break. And now we have a situation that in a key football month, March, the season has been abandoned, and therefore it's really critical that the clubs take on their social responsibility. We see in Europe that the health authorities are using the clubs' profiles to reach out to the fans, to show the hygiene themes, to sensibilize, to stay at home, to make sure that the lockdown is really followed. And that's a key area where Europe's football fans or sporting fans are really supporting the health organizations. I have not seen that in Africa yet, because the football clubs have started with archiving content, yeah, their best matches from 10 years ago, from 20 years ago, from 30 years ago, their highlights of this season, the nicest goals of the last decade. All those things are happening. It's just digitally entertaining, but I think there should be a corporate social responsibility for football clubs, obviously, to share, to sensibilize the audience, to assist everybody, to make sure that we have really the impact we hoped, that there's no death people or no fatalities through the COVID-19 pandemic.
That's Mario Leo, the CEO of Results Sports. And Mario spoke with Iron Mike Imbonye on the telephone from Germany.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
My Voice of America colleague Gwen Uten joins us once again with an update on if and when English Premier League football might resume its season. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Nearly 6 weeks after the Premier League suspended its season, league representatives took part in a conference call to reaffirm their desire to complete the campaign and devise a strategy for football's safe return. But with a government lockdown in place for at least another 3 weeks, no date for restarting the season has been confirmed. Tony Bloom is the chairman of Brighton and Hove Albion, who are currently 2 points in the relegation zone. And despite his call that no club should be relegated if the season is not completed, Bloom says he wants to finish and warns many clubs are in danger of bankruptcy if the season doesn't restart soon.
I think after this situation has resolved, hopefully, and that doesn't take too long, I do think football will come together, because at the moment, a lot of our football clubs are at risk of not only going to administration, but of going bust. And we were all devastated when Bury went out of existence. We know how key these football clubs are to their community. So it is a big concern going forward that more clubs in this country and other countries will fold. So I think it does need to be looked at all levels, because it really is unsustainable. And I think it needs something like this crisis to perhaps get across some significant sustainable change.
But Bloom emphasized the Premier League and all 20 clubs are determined to play the remaining season to its conclusion.
I think the majority of the Premier League clubs would very much like to finish the season. That's what we started off doing. I know we're in a position close to the relegation zone, but for the integrity of the league, it would be very good to finish it. But there are significant issues, particularly as time goes on, and we don't see, you know, football continuing in the short term. I mean, there's, you know, it's still huge amounts of people having the virus, hospitals under a lot of pressure. It wouldn't be appropriate at this time. So we're obviously waiting to hear. The Premier League's in constant contact with the government, with the health officials. And I think it would be great for the country as a whole when football can continue, when it's safe to continue. But we really don't know the timing on that. And obviously there's big issues with the contracts from the end of June. So I have no idea what will actually happen. But we have to be prepared. It's very difficult for Graham and our players to prepare for the season to restart. We're 2 points off the relegation zone. But mentally, when it comes to it, we have to be prepared to play those final 9 games of the season.
As Tony Bloom mentioned, too long of a delay could see the football season running beyond June 30th, when some player and manager contracts come to an end. FIFA has called for adjusted contracts to reflect when the actual season ends, but that issue could be challenged under English law. Paul Barber is the chief executive of Brighton and says he's committed to finishing the season, whether or not contracts run out.
We are all committed to try and finishing the season because the integrity of the competition, I think, largely relies on that. We start the season wanting and expecting to play 38 games, and that's where, the season would normally end up, and that's where we want to be. But at the moment, I think, as Tony said, it's very difficult to foresee playing football at this time when there are still so many significant issues for people's health and the pressure that the government and the health authorities are under right now. I'm sure football is a little bit down their agenda. But in terms of lifting the nation's spirits at some point, I think we all know that we would love to be able to focus on a date when we could play again. Even if it's behind closed doors, it will give everyone something to look forward to. But at the moment, that's not the priority. The priority is making sure people are safe and well.
And to that point, rescheduled games could be held behind closed doors in empty stadiums to keep the public safe. Premier League clubs have already begun to amend payment deadlines and renewal windows on tickets for next season. This season, Premier League teams have up to 9 games remaining, with leaders Liverpool 25 points clear of defending champions Manchester City. Liverpool are only 2 wins away from clinching the title and are desperate to finish their campaign. But in a recent interview, Liverpool midfielder Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain reiterated what many are saying. Health concerns are a top priority. And he summed up what has become of the current season this way. Whatever is out of our control is out of our control as a group of people, as a football club, as players, as fans. So just take care of themselves, look after themselves and their loved ones. And whenever we're able to get back, I look forward to seeing them again. And I will end it there. Sonny, I'll hand it back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sonny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Let's give a Sonny Side of Sports birthday salute to Julius Korir, who won a gold medal for Kenya in the 3,000-meter steeplechase at the 1984 Los Angeles Olympics here in the USA. Julius was born April 21st, 1960, in Nandi, Kenya. That Olympic gold medal was definitely the highlight of Julius's career in athletics. He missed the 1985 season due to injury. And although he competed for several more years, Julius never again represented Kenya at a major international competition. Happy 60th birthday, Julius Korir. And that wraps up the April 21st edition of the show. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thank you for tuning in. And that's the Sonny Side of Sports.
I get it.
VOA.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African Beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.